Turn in your Bibles to Jeremiah 18, verse 1 through 6. We're breaking in on a passage of Scripture, and many of you that study the Word, scholars, you'll know that Jeremiah, the Lord wants to give a word to his people, and he told Jeremiah to go down to the potter's house to get it. He wanted to send his people a message to repent, to avoid God's judgment. You would think that a nation that had been carried into captivity would be ready to repent and to turn away God's wrath from them. But as we read on through this scripture, if we read on through the chapter 18, you'll find that that wasn't the case. They weren't ready to repent. They weren't so quick to humble themselves. And God wanted to send a message of hope and forgiveness and restoration if the people were to turn their backs to their hearts back to God, for it was their idol worship that got them into trouble and into captivity in the first place. So let's read here, if you found your scripture, Jeremiah 18 and 1. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words." Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again, another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel." As you can easily tell, that God is the potter and we are the clay. Amen?
Amen.
I want to apply this text today to our personal lives, to our personal walk with God, meaning our life. It's highs and lows. It's ups and downs. It's rivers and valleys. It's deserts and rivers. I mean, life is just a little bit of everything, ain't it? It's a mulligan stew. We find ourselves in all kinds of situations and circumstances, and you're blindsided sometimes by life. Sometimes, you know, you get yourself into situations and you just walk right into that heartache or that trouble by your own power and your own decisions. But, you know, I want to talk to us about being this piece of clay, excuse me, in the potter's hands. God didn't call us out of a life of sin to leave us just as he found us. He wants to make us vessels to be used by him, something that he can work through, something that will bring him glory through our lives. Right. And he desires that we're fruitful. He desires that we win souls and strengthen one another and to further the kingdom of God in this old world. And I don't know how much you all know about pottery. I don't know if you've ever thought about it, watched it, looked at it, give it any thought at all. But it's mesmerizing to watch a master potter at work. I could watch it for hours. I love it. I've dabbled in it a little bit, no good at it. But I love watching someone to work with clay that really knows what they're doing. You know, and to see that clay on the wheel and it's spinning and that craftsman just working that clay and making it into whatever he saw fit. It's just something, it's just beautiful. And that something valuable could just come out of a little bit of mud. Ain't that amazing? But God's done that for us. It says we're made from the dirt of the earth. God fashioned us and created us. And you know what? It's not a finished product. Thank God he works with us. He yields us and molds us and shapes us. And it's his goodwill, the Bible says. So I want to talk to you before the first thing, and this blessed my soul when I realized it, the first thing that a potter does when he is desiring to make a vessel is he seeks out the clay. I never knew that. I just, you know, you just think all clay is created equal, and it's not. There's like five different types of clay, and each one of those types of clay makes a different type of vessel. You need a certain type of clay to make a stoneware pot. You can't take something that the clay that makes like delicate porcelain teacups and turn that into a piece of stoneware. That don't work. There's different sorts and types. And God seeks out that clay. And that just blessed my soul, because there was a day that I was lost in sin. There was a day that my life was worthless and ruined, and the Lord sought me out. Do you understand that you can't just come to God just because you're ready to give up sin and that you're ready just to quit going the way you're going? He has to seek you out. He has to call you. And I just bless God the day that He just looked at the little lump that I was and thought, you know what? I can do something with that.
Amen.
But you got to yield. Amen. You got to allow the Lord to work and move into your life. Because, what Jeremiah was watching on the potter's wheel, you know, that mud picked up and being worked with doesn't have much of a say. But as the people of God, as His creation, you know what? God has a will, and we have a will. And sometimes those wheels collide, don't they? Sometimes they do. I have heard people talking about a living sacrifice. And they said the only problem with living sacrifice is they have a tendency to want to run off the altar. You know? they have a tendency. They don't want to go through this. I don't want to deal with this, Lord. I don't want nothing to do with what you're about asking me to do. And those little lambs, they want to run away when it gets tough. But, you know, but it's the Father's great design. You know, He didn't just pick you up thinking, I don't know what I'm going to do with this. We'll just try something. If it turns out, it turns out. No. Before He starts, He seeks it out. He seeks it out. And He knows what He wants. He knows what He wants to make. And He knows just what piece of clay is going to fit the bill. And then the next thing you do, the potter does, is he gets that piece of clay and he puts it on the wheel. And this is quite the process. There's many would-be potters who just drop out of class. They just give up trying to learn altogether, because one of the hardest things they say to do in making a vessel is to get the clay centered. And maybe if you've seen a potter work, he'll pick up that clay and he just slams it down on a wheel. He'll pick it up and slam it, pick it up and slam it. And you're, because it's important to be centered. Because if it's not centered, the potter can't do anything with it. It will implode on itself. But you think about that. When he's working that vessel, oh man, it's spinning and it's just beautiful to think. But if it's off center, think what that looks like. I mean, how are you going to work with something that's off-centered, that won't yield itself, that won't accept where the potter wants to place it?
Amen.
You ever been there? Yes. I'm there right now. Did not expect to find myself here today, and I'm sitting over there, oh, Lord, oh, Lord, oh, Lord, and He said, calm down. You've prayed for this service many, many times.
Amen.
Yes.
You know, and then you just have to say, okay. And sometimes it's not easy. Sometimes, like I said, our wills collide with God's sometimes.
That's true.
Sometimes we're called to do something that maybe we're not comfortable with. Maybe we run from a call. Maybe, you know, there's something He's wanting you to do and you'd rather take a beating than do it. But you know what? If you allow His will to center you on His will, then God can make something. Because I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit's a gentleman. He's not going to chase you down and just try to make something out of you. And you're out of sync. You're not centered. Holy Spirit ain't going to work that way. And like I said, they say it's the hardest thing to do is to get the clay centered on the wheel. And then after you get the clay centered on the wheel, then the molding starts happening. The shaping process begins. And it requires a lot of skill, patience, and pressure. It requires that the clay be pliable and free of impurities. And then after all of that spinning and all of that pressure, then the vessel has to go into the fire, into the fire. You think by now you all would be under Sister Lewis knows what I'm saying. The Lewises did not need no interpretation. But I thought, just in case you think that the clay has to go far away to a far distant place, no, it has to go into the heat. It has to go into the furnace where heat is applied. And the purpose of the fire is to harden the vessel. The fire also brings out the beauty of the piece that's being formed. It's after the vessel has been in the kiln the proper amount of time, then you start to see that work of art and what the Bible referred to as a vessel of honor that's fit for the master's use. This is God's desire and design for our lives, that we be a creation that brings glory to God. If you look at Matthew 5:16, the Bible says, "Let your life so shine before men that they may see your good works and do what? Pat you on the back? Tell you you've done a good job?" No, anything that you do for God, it's not for you. It's for Him if you're doing it right. It's to bring honor and glory to God. Amen. And Romans 12:1 says, "I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." So let's apply these steps that the clay goes through in the potter's hands. Sought out. Luke 15:4-7. I love whenever I'm teaching children to use the parables of Jesus to teach those children. There's no better storyteller, I think, than Jesus. He took a hard truth that would have been hard for the people to understand. I mean, it's a new thing that Jesus is bringing in. He turned religion up on its head whenever he came and started teaching. And he had truths to teach, so he used a parable. And I love, love, love the parable of the 99, where Jesus, tells of a farmer and his sheep are coming in the evening, and he's counting those sheep. He knows he has 100 sheep, but when he got done counting, he only had 99 sheep. One was lost. And what does he do? He gets somebody to watch those sheep, and he goes out into the highways, the hedges, and the hills, the valleys. God knows, there's a story I love to tell, and I don't know if any of the kids that I've had in junior church are sitting in here now. A story of Snowflake. I don't know if any of you have heard me tell the story of Snowflake. It wears me and the children out when I tell it. But it's the story of that shepherd going out to find that lost sheep. And he's climbing hills, and it's treacherous, and it's dangerous. And he's falling, and he's cutting himself, and it's cold, and it's a treacherous hike. And he's searching, and he's looking, and he's exhausting himself to find that little lamb. And then when he finds that lamb, and this just blessed my soul. I thought of this when the Lord brought it to my mind when I was studying this lesson. Whenever he found that little lamb, he didn't get that little lamb and said, "What in the world are you doing? Why are you out here? Why are you lost? Why are you acting like this? Why aren't you home?" He did not chastise that little lamb, but he took it to his breast and he wrapped that little thing around his neck and he carried it back home. And he loved on it, and he blessed it, and he fed it. He tended to it, should there be any cuts. He took care of that little lamb. But that shepherd would lay down his life and die for that little lamb. Yeah. And yeah. There's no beautiful, we're starting the Easter season, and what a beautiful depiction of what Christ did on the cross. He sought us out. I think of the song that Troy sings of the 99, when people are asking the shepherd, "What's the matter with you? Ain't 99 sheep good enough for you? Can you not be content with 99 sheep?" Oh, not a shepherd. Not a shepherd that loves the flock. Not a shepherd, because they're not just a herd. He knows each one individual. He could call them all by name. And that's a beautiful thought. Whenever we all raise our hand, we all got burdens. It's not just a hand. The Lord sees your heart. He sees what you're troubling, what's troubling you. He knows where you're struggling are. He knows what you're up against. It's not just a multitude of hands and it's just something we do to fill up time in a service. The Heavenly Father, your shepherd, knows where you're at and what you're going Amen. Through. And no, 99 wasn't enough for him. He sought you out because he knows. He's got a plan. He's got a design. And he's got a purpose. And he needs you to fulfill your destiny in Christ. Amen. Then we go talking about being centered. Galatians 2:20 says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Remember when I said this is the hardest part? Because God has a will, as we already said, and we have a will, and these wheels just, we bump heads sometimes. We desire to be part of God's design, but the spinning and the spinning. You ever feel like that your life is out of control? That, you know, you're going good one day? This happened to me last Wednesday. I was in my house. And I was preparing a dish to bring to our food and fellowship night. And I got up early, got that dish all took care of, and got it cooked. And all I had to do is reheat it before I came. And then I was going to make my brownies, and then I was going to get cleaned up. And then I was going to go pick up Sister Matheny. And I had it all planned out, and my son shows up. And he drops off all three of my grandchildren all at once. And he's like, are you busy? And I said, well, I've got this, this, and this to do. Oh, well, we got a meeting. We got to go. And them youngins of mine went berserk. They hadn't been to my house for a little while. And them youngins act like that they never had a liquor raisin, and they have. And, you know, and they're running, and they're screaming, and they're getting into things. And, you know, and I'm trying to get my brownies done. And then their dad says, oh, yeah. He says, you don't have to get back if you want to, but they come to my house to get a bath. I got a big bathtub. Them babies love it. And so, you know, I've got, you know, clothes are flying through the air, and I'm trying to get on brownies, and the whole time I'm thinking, I need to get a shower. I wanted to get a shower. And kids are running, and I have to get homework done, and things, it just, man, I lost control real quick of the situation. And life can be like that. Things are going well, and all of a sudden, the wheels fly off, don't it? And then you react, and sometimes you react in the wrong way, which adds to the situation. And sometimes we're just spinning, it seems like. That it's just like you just can't get your feet under you. You can't get your thoughts together. You know, you don't know what hit you when, and all of a sudden you're overwhelmed just by life. It's just that spinning and spinning and spinning. And if that ain't enough, you keep feeling like you're being picked up and slammed out again. And then they're spinning. We can all identify, right? I mean, goodness. Goodness. And then if that's not enough, the molding and the shaping. You know, this little lump of clay, now it's feeling the pressure to change. And, oh, we never like change. I don't know if anybody in here say, I absolutely love change. I don't care what kind of change it is. I love it. I look forward to it. I like it and I want it. No, because what brings change more often than not? Is it not? It's pain that makes us change and adjust. And we don't like it. We don't like the pressure. We don't like feeling uncomfortable. And that's what the clay goes through, though. When the potter's hand's on it, and he's starting to mold it. Maybe he's making a plate, and he's just flattening that clay out, and the clay, oh, you know, or maybe he's, you know, whatever he's doing, it's not comfortable for the clay. And the clay has to be pliable. You know, and the potter is always putting that slurry on it, and, you know, and just all the working and the pulling and the tugging. And you feel like that sometimes, don't you? That life is just about to pull you into it. Or you just feel so pressed down. Sometimes you just feel the weight of life. Yes. And here again, them little living sacrifices, that's a good time to jump off. That You're sick of the spinning. You're sick of the pressure. You're sick of the tugging and the pulling and what you feel like that you're being put through in life. Romans 8:13 says, "For if you live after flesh, you shall die. But if ye through the Spirit, if you'll let God have his way with you, and you do mortify the deeds of the body, then ye shall live." It takes a life of submission, walking in the light and the truth, and yielding to the Holy Spirit for God, our partner, to work his will in your life. Jeremiah 10:23 says, "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps." We need the Spirit of God to help us navigate through life if we hope to make it. And like I said, being molded and shaped takes us out of our comfort zone. You know? And we never like that. It's uncomfortable. And this is where you have to be yielded and still and submit to the potter. And then if that ain't enough, then the clay has to go into the fire. And Malachi 3:2-3 says, "For he's like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. And he shall sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. And he shall purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness." And if the clay thought the throwing and the spinning and the molding and the shaping was hard, the furnace can be worse. You ever felt like you've been through the fire of persecution? You ever feel like you've been through the fires of affliction? If you've walked with the Lord any amount of time, you will have experienced the heat of God's furnace. And you know, 1 Peter 4:12 talks about it being fiery trials and tribulations and afflictions. And Isaiah 48:10, discouragement, fear, confusing. There's a whole lot of things that the enemy brings against us that can cause us to want to turn aside from God's will and his design for our life. Life is not without its problems, but he did promise to go with us, even if it means to the end of the world. God allows us to go through these times not to harm us. It's never to harm us. He has a plan and a purpose and a design for your life. And you know what? When you think about it, the three Hebrew boys, they had to go in the furnace, didn't they? And that furnace was 7 times hotter than it had ever been. And the men that grabbed them and was going to throw them into that furnace, when those doors opened, they died from the very heat that came out of that furnace.
Amen.
And you know what? I thought, what a good time for a living sacrifice to run away. Amen? Yep. That would have been a good time. The boys could have escaped. When your captors that are holding you drop dead, you could scurry off, and everybody is just in shock and awe, and it would have been a good time for them to get away.
Yeah.
But I don't know if they put themselves in there or somebody else give them a shove. I don't know how they landed in the fiery furnace, because like I said, it would have been easy for them to get away. But they find themselves in the furnace. So do we. And oftentimes, thing is hot, and it's wearisome, and you feel like you're going to die, and you just want God to cool the furnace. Amen? But for the three Hebrew boys, that did not happen. It did not happen. But what God did, he sent the Son of Man, the Son of God, into that furnace. He sent his own Son into the furnace, not to cool it, but to deliver them. Amen? And he'll do the same for you. Your trials and your troubles don't have to overwhelm you and consume you. God makes a way out. But as the clay, you got to be willing to go into the furnace. Amen?
Amen.
You got to submit to what God is trying to do and to work in your life. And what a beautiful example the Hebrew boys are to this day to us. What a beautiful example that they are to us, to encourage us that, you know, that God makes a way, that Christ will enter into your affliction, and he will deliver you. What a beautiful, and that's what God wants to do with your life. He wants to make you a beautiful testimony of what he can do in the life of his children. And God allows us to go through these times. But you know what the fire does for the clay? It just doesn't burn it up. It strengthens it. Amen?
Amen.
It strengthens it. And while it strengthens it, it also brings out the beautiful color of it. You know, it's not just to hurt you. I think of that old song, the old hymn that says, "The flame shall not harm me. I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine." But you got to be willing to stay in the furnace.
Yeah, right.
You got to be willing to go through some things. There's going to be troubles and trials and tribulations. Jesus said that he didn't say that that would go away when you come to me, but he said he would make a way and that he'll go with you. And that's better. And, you know, understand that the vessel will have to go through the fire more than once. Because, you know, then there's a glaze. And then you got to go right back into the fire. Isn't life like that? I feel like I've been through the fiery furnace more than once. Amen? And I'm sure before I see God's face, there'll be another battle. There'll be another trial. There'll be another hardship. But all I have to do is just stay centered and be yielded and molded to the Holy Spirit and let him work his way in me and let him work his way in you. And you know, but here's the wonderful thing about the potter. He keeps his eye on that vessel because he knows if the vessel stays in the furnace too long, it'll be brittle. You know, he'll start to use it and it'll break and it'll fall apart.
Right.
So you've got to trust him through the hard times and the hardship. He knows when to pull you out because it's not his design that you would be brittle. He don't want the first little trial come and you just fall apart. He wants you to be an heir of peace.
Yes, amen.
Not just something to be disregarded as soon as, you know, he starts to use it, but he wants to make you a lasting treasure. Amen?
Yeah.
James 1, 2 and 4 says, "To count it all joy when you fall into diverse or various trials and temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith," which is what happens in the furnace, "the trying of your faith worketh or produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work." That means you gotta stay on the wheel, you gotta stay in the furnace, wherever you're at. If you're being molded and shaped, you've got to stay there. "And let patience have its perfect work, an entire meaning complete, and wanting or lacking nothing." And that brings us to being a vessel of honor. Matthew 5:16, we read it, "A creation that glorifies God, that they may see your good works." They see what the vessel that God designed you to be. They can see that, you know what? It's beautiful and it's working just like it should. Because the purpose of the clay, as we said, is to bring glory to the potter. When you come through the fire, this is when you can see the beauty and design of the potter's creation. You see the shape and the beautiful colors the potter worked into a life of clay. It's not the lump of clay that it once was. Now it's a vessel of honor that the master can use. And it took a lot to get there. But now this life has value, purpose, and meaning. That lump in the devil's hands, and this is what I tell young people every time I talk to them, the devil's got nothing good planned for your life. No matter what your age is here today, the devil has no plan, no design, no use for you.
Amen.
Your life in the devil's hands would never amount to nothing.
Amen.
There's no purpose. There would never be no value. It's amazing to me that a potter can take a piece of clay, mold it, shape it, far it, all of that, and some of that pottery, some of that porcelain, that china, all of that is worth more money than I will ever make in a lifetime. There is pieces of porcelain, figurines, all of that. Think about it. That is so valuable, they're locked up in a museum somewhere. And we get to look at it through a little glass because the master had his way with that piece of clay.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
what God wants to do to you. He wants your life to be meaningful and purpose, have purpose and value. But if you won't yield, if you simply refuse to yield your life to the potter, you'll never amount to anything. The devil will see you're destroyed, that you're useless. That's why it's so important to yield to the Holy Spirit and let Him have His way. If He's dealing with you, you got issues in your life and He's dealing with you, be quick to yield to that and say yes, Lord, to His will. And because, like I said, the devil would have never had you sought out. It's beautiful, the thought that the potter seeks out the clay. The devil would just assume. But you know what? This is how evil the devil is. He don't even care that you get sought out. He don't care that you go through the spinning, the process of being centered. He don't care that you go through the fire. Just as long as he can do something to cause you to not be so pliable where you want your way. He'll let you go through every bit of that. He'll let you ride a church pew from here to judgment as long as you're not effective. As long as you're not useful, he don't care. Come to church, by all means. But saints, it takes that yielding to the Holy Spirit that makes all the difference in your life, whether you're going to be effective or not. And if you're here today, Brother Justin, get ready. If you're here today and you're having difficulty in your Christian walk, maybe you're struggling to submit your will to God's will, or maybe you're here and you're feeling the pressure of being shaped and molded into His image, or perhaps you're struggling with the fiery trial and you're weary from the heat of the furnace. God understands that. God understands that. But this is when you've got to trust the potter's hands. This is when you've got to say, not my will, but yours, Lord. First Corinthians 10:13 tells us there's no temptation that's taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with that temptation make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Even if it means sending his own son into your furnace, he will do that. Because like I said, he's looking for vessels of honor. Amen?
Amen.
He's looking for people that he can use. He's looking for people that will make a difference in this whole world, make a difference in the lives of their family, make a difference to their neighbors, make a difference to their coworkers, make a difference to their friends at school. He's got a plan, a purpose, and a design. You know, God don't pick up that clay and just like, well, I'm going to do this. Oh, well, let's just slap something together. Do you understand? This isn't God's hobby. Our lives in His hand isn't His hobby. It's His career. It's His passion. And He takes it serious. And you're precious and you're valuable to Him. So, you know, always, always, always be pliable in His hands. If He wants to mold you and shape you, you know, I was thinking back. I was 20 years old when I went to Haiti, first and only time. Only place in this world that I went that I wasn't homesick. And I loved it. I loved every minute of being there. And I wanted to be a missionary. That's what I wanted to be. And why wouldn't God let me be a missionary? My Lord, He needs them bad. You know, so I just thought it was in the bag. I'm going to be a missionary. This is what I want to do. And, you know, God has to want this too. And I started out walking with the Lord at a very young age. 50 years into this thing, the call to be a missionary has never come. And I could be a piece of clay that didn't want to yield. And I could be angry with God Why haven't you made me thus, as our text said? Why can't I? I want to be this. Another thing I want to do, I want to be a piano player. I mean, I wanted to be Floyd Kramer good, Anthony Berger good. And I wanted to play for the Lord. That's never happened. If he wants to zap me one day, that's fine with me. But I love nothing better than just sit down and fool with it. I can play by ear a little bit, not good, not good. Just for my own entertainment. Sometimes that's how I worship the Lord. Just playing little songs. But I could get better. See, we're living. This vessel is living. And like I said, we have a will, God has a will. And I could be angry with him. Because I would dearly love to play the piano. But it could be that God knows if I could play, I'd never get off the piano. He called me when I was a teenager in high school to be a Sunday school teacher. He needed me for a different vessel. And I had to, okay, Lord. And the day he called me to preach, that was absolutely painful to me. It is not what I was wanting. We went around and around about all the reasons. Why not? Not me, Lord. Cannot be me. I don't like being in front of people. Y'all wouldn't believe that. I'm actually a shy person. None of you believe that. But that's just to show you. If you give your life to God, what he can do. I told somebody the other day, I eloped. Oh man, I'm a planner. I love event planning and all of that. But when it come down to putting on a pretty dress and being the center of attention, let's find a judge. I couldn't do it. I didn't want to do it. So me standing before you right now is a lump of clay.
Yes.
All the things I wanted to do, no. The things I'm most scared to death to do, yes. But if I didn't yield, if I didn't let him mold and shape me, would I be here today? He's not going to force you. He's not going to make you. He'll talk to you. Sometimes he pleads with you and he knocks, trying to get you to answer that call to whatever. And you can resist him. Sure can. But your life hid with Christ in God is a beautiful thing. It's a valuable thing.
Amen.
And then it has worth and meaning and brings glory to God, which is what? Our reasonable service. Amen. If you would stand, we're going to sing a verse of invitation. If you have a need in your life, the altars are open, and the Lord wants to do a work in your life. Now, I trust him. I didn't know I'd be preaching today. So if I were you, I wouldn't just cast it off. If the Lord's speaking to your heart the least a little bit, man, I would come and find out what's this about. Because this is about as instant and in season as it gets. But the God don't do random. You know? Evidently, this was his plan all along. I'd have loved it if he would have clued me in. his way. So if the Lord is talking to your heart, listen to the Holy Spirit. Submit. Because he wants his way with you, that you would be a vessel of worth and beauty.
I know you're going through the fire. It's getting hard to stand the heat. But even harder is the wondering, is God's hand still on me? It's lonely in the flames when you're counting the days of pain. But the potter knows the clay, how much pressure it can take, how many times around the wheel. So submission to his will. He's planned a beautiful design, but it'll take some fire and time. It's gonna be okay, because the potter knows the clay. Friend, I just came through the fire not too very long ago, and looking back I can see why, and that my God was in control. But on the hottest days I'd cry, oh Lord, isn't it about time? But the potter knows the clay, how much pressure it can take, how many times around the wheel, till there's submission to his will. He's planned a beautiful design, but it'll take some fire and time. It's gonna be okay, because the potter knows the clay.
What a perfect song. You know, I was happened to think, perhaps you started out in your Christian walk and you failed. And you feel like, I cannot do it. I can't live that way. I cannot make it. And you've experienced failures or setbacks. And maybe you were the living sacrifice that did run off the wheel, off the altar. The beautiful thing about the potter and the clay, if the pot, our text tells us, becomes marred, the potter just starts all over again, and he makes it new.
Yes.
He doesn't throw it away.
Thank the Lord.
He does not throw it away. He molds it and shapes it into something new, into something. And like I said, your life in anybody else's hands, the devil's or your own, is just going to be worthless. But you got to trust the potter's hand. I love the song that he's singing. These hands, you know, whenever you're feeling the pressure and it's hard, and you feel the spinning and the pulling and the tugging. You know in that time that that potter has got both hands on you, and he's got his eye on you, and those hands are sensitive, and they know what you can take, and they know what you can handle, and you can trust those hands. That whatever you go through, whatever you face, the Lord has got you.
Praise the Lord.
And his and the spinning and the fire and the tugging and the pulling is not just him. Just, this is what he can do. I can do it because I'm God. No, every bit of that, all your pain, all your trouble, all your heartache is meant to work something beautiful. He doesn't break us just because he can. But he wants to take our brokenness and make something beautiful out of it. The Bible talks about him giving beauty for our ashes. But you've got to submit. You've got to let him work. You've got to let him have his way in your life. Sing another verse. While others are coming,
I know you're going through the fire. It's getting hard to stand the heat, but even harder is the wondering, is God's hand still on me? It's lonely in the flames when you're counting the days of pain, but the potter knows the clay, how much pressure it can take, how many times around the wheel, till there's submission to his will.
Take some fire and time.